Are you ready for a change? Be it physical, mental, or emotional change, you've already got what it takes to make that happen. Your host for the upcoming program, the Mac Newton Power Hour, has trained in martial arts over the course of several decades. Time and time again, his training methods have saved or extended the careers of dozens of NFL, NBA, and Major League Baseball stars. Mac Newton has authored two highly acclaimed books, A Path to Power and The D-Factor. The Mac Newton Power Hour starts now. Here's Mac.
I've got the power.
Good afternoon, Phoenix. New York and St. Louis and Chicago and Denver and LA and all points east, west, north, and south. Hi gang, I'm Mac Newton and welcome to I think our sixth edition of the Power Hour now, since we've been doing it on the internet, streaming on the World Wide Web all around the world. We're listening to one of my favorite jazz guitarists. I mean, my favorite jazz trumpet players. Whom I saw on TV last night. You don't know who that is, do you, Eric? Huh?
Well, you told me who it is.
Eric is a rock and roll guy. But you just watch. In the following weeks and months, Eric's going to be an expert on all the jazz going around. The one and only Miles Davis. One of our musical guest hosts today. You know, the fabulous Natasha and I, we love our Christmas music. Isn't that right, baby?
Yes, it is.
We just love to watch our Christmas music and our Christmas movies. And we were talking about it last week, right? And what was your Christmas favorite one, Eric?
It was Bad Santa.
Bad Santa. That's a cool... that's a bad movie. And yesterday, we were watching, or at least got started watching before we went to bed, Scrooge. With Bill Murray, Scrooged, with Bill Murray, and in one little scene, as he's walking outside of the building, Miles Davis has a little cameo with his entire quintet on the sidewalk, and it's sort of a little funny part where it's a big sign, "Please help the starving musicians," and Bill Murray makes a comment like, "Why don't you guys work for a living and quit ripping people off," or something like that, and we're looking at some of the greatest jazz musicians of all time, and I was thinking about Miles Davis. And wouldn't that be too cool to have a little Miles Davis? With the Mac Daddy on the Power Hour here the week after Thanksgiving, Thursday, the 4th of December. Welcome to my house. Yes, and of course with us today on the Power Hour is, as usual, the fabulous Natasha. Welcome aboard, darling.
Thank you. Hello, everyone.
So let's see, what are we wearing today, our fashion consultant? What are we wearing today? Give us a rundown, Natasha. What do you got?
I'm very casual today. Mm-hmm. I have Michael Kors top and the Sevens jeans.
Okay. Now, Michael Kors, is he like a designer or something?
Yes, he's a designer.
Okay.
Everybody knows Michael Kors.
Well, hold on a second. Do you know Michael Kors? Eric?
No.
Does anyone out there know Michael Kors beside Natasha? I'm just teasing. Of course, we all. If we don't know, we're going to pretend we do. Is he like really good or something?
I like him. He's very good.
What's his specialty? What does he do? What type of things does he design?
He designs everything.
Does he design anything for men?
I never seen men's clothes from Michael Kors. Maybe he does. Maybe he doesn't. I never shop at men's department.
I always wonder about these guys that are designing men's clothes. I mean, how do you get a guy designing men's? I mean, a guy designing women's clothes. Wouldn't you think it'd be easier for a woman to design women's clothes? And never. I'm getting in trouble here. Whatever. Welcome to the Power Hour. And
thank you.
And the jeans that you said, they were Sevens.
Yes, they're Sevens. They're very popular.
Very
jeans.
Popular
Everybody
jeans.
Everybody knows Sevens.
Everybody knows the Sevens. So you're very casual, but stylish today, right?
Oh, yes, I'm always stylish. I have my style.
That's why we call her the fabulous Natasha. And, of course, Eric, welcome to the house, my brother.
How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing fabulous. Good to see you. How was Thanksgiving? Did you overeat?
I had a couple plates of food.
He says, of course, that's the purpose of the day.
Right?
That's exactly right. Well, you know, I told you guys that we were going to deep fry that turkey right here at MacDaddy's. And I want to tell you something. That's the way you need to go. Have you ever done that, Eric?
No, I haven't.
Oh, you need to do that. 15 minutes.
Wow.
I deep fried two huge drumsticks and two huge turkey thighs. I mean, they were just huge. 15 minutes, right down to the bone, perfect, crispy on the outside. And, oh, how did it smell, Natasha? How did that smell, girl?
The whole house smelled absolutely unbelievable. It was delicious. Even probably outside, you could smell it. That the turkey itself was unbelievably good.
It was very juicy. So all you guys are out there pouring gravy all over your turkey and stuff, they put the gravy on it because they're trying to give it some moisture because it's so dry. I mean, turkey, is this usually, well, don't eat the turkey breast. Stay away from the turkey breast. It has no fat in it anyway. You want something that's got some fat in it, some flavor. Eat the thighs and the legs and leave the skin on. It's where the fat's at. It's where the taste is at. It's where the fat's at. That's what you want to do. 15 minutes, Eric. 15 minutes. Juicy, tasty. It was unbelievable. As we said last week, we're going to spend a couple of minutes out of every show to talk to people about their eating and workout plans. Right, Natasha?
Yes, we talked about it.
Yeah, she's not too happy about that. Wait a minute. Are you going to weigh me? Of course.
I'm a little bit scared.
No.
After Thanksgiving.
Don't worry. We don't call you the fabulous Natasha for nothing. You know, you have nothing to worry about. All right. What we're going to be talking about is the Mac Newton 3-2 eating plan. Three means three things you can eat, and two, the two things you can drink. Now, some of you guys out there, like I think it's Albert in South Florida, who has watched me on television with the Robert Kiyosaki Rich Dad Poor Dad Insider series where I've done several shows there. And so you know, Albert, about the 3-2 eating plan. We talked about it at length. It's amazing. Albert, if you've had some success with it, why don't you send me an email so I can look at it. Maybe we can share it on the air next week, okay? Listen, gang, it is now 8 minutes past the hour here on Thursday, December 12th, and this is the Power Hour, and my name is Mac Newton. We've got a great show on tap for you guys today, loaded from top to bottom, so we better get into it. But first, as I said, the 3-2 eating plan. Three things you can eat, two things you can drink. The three things you can eat are lean source protein. What I'm talking about here is meat, gang. I'm talking about meat, real meat. I'm not talking about luncheon meat. I'm not talking about deli meat. I'm not talking about meat in a can, a bag, or a box. I'm talking about real meat, okay? I'm not talking about eggs. I'm not talking about protein drinks. I'm talking about meat. So when I say lean source protein, that means meat. Second thing, green vegetables, dark green vegetables. Everything you can get in something that's not green, you can get in something that is green. So you're not going to miss out anything by not eating vegetables that are not green. Dark green vegetables, and particularly broccoli. Broccoli is like, it's like the most potent vegetable out there. It's in the cabbage and kale family. It is stocked with vitamins and minerals, and you can't do better than broccoli. Here are my big five. Asparagus, broccoli, Brussels sprouts, spinach, and collard greens. Those are the big five. I'll say it again. Asparagus, broccoli, Brussels sprouts, spinach, and collard greens. You want to get all the vitamins and minerals that you need. You know, they had a news thing on TV in Phoenix just recently where they're talking about vitamins. Don't waste your time eating vitamins. Your body knows the difference between real vitamins and the vitamins that come in a box or a bottle. It doesn't have the energy that comes from the plants. synthesized vitamins may be, you know, they may be molecularly the same, but they are not the same. It doesn't have life force, and your body can tell the difference. Basically, what you get when you take a lot of vitamins is expensive urine. That's what you get, because all of it goes out in your toilet and down the drain. Unless you cannot or will not eat, in other words, you're a burn victim or have been in an accident and you have some other illness, problem, your body's not going to utilize those vitamins. You need vitamins from vegetables and food. That's where I get mine from, and I've got all the energy I need. The third thing is fruits. You need lots of fresh fruits every day. Eat lots of it. So there you have it. Three things you can eat: lean source protein, meat, green vegetables, which you should eat in combination. Don't waste your time with salads. That's just a way of filling up without getting any nutrients. Don't waste your time with a big bowl of lettuce. Lettuce has nothing but fiber and water in it, and there are better ways of getting both. Don't waste your time with lettuce. Forget about it. Lettuce and celery, forget about it. No nutrients at all. Don't eat that garbage. Don't eat salads. Don't fill yourself up. That's something that women do because they don't want to eat. Skip it. We need nutrients. Do you want to think of yourself as a Lamborghini or a Prius? A Lamborghini needs high octane gas and lots of it. The better shape you get in, you need more gas, you need more fuel, and you need the highest octane you can get. And you can't get it eating chicken breasts and turkey breasts. You need some ribeye steaks. You need some New York strips. You need some prime ribs. Where's the bad news in that, Eric? Where's the bad news there, buddy?
Cholesterol.
Cholesterol? You know, Eric, I'm glad you said that, because there is not a relationship between dietary cholesterol and blood serum cholesterol levels. You know where your body gets cholesterol from? The one that it makes in your liver from the stuff you eat, like bread and crackers and gravy. That's where the cholesterol comes from. The cholesterol you get through your dietary system is used by your body to make strong veins and arteries. That just goes to show how we've been had and been took by the people who are trying to sell you stuff that's made us fat. We didn't just get fat automatically. We got fat by the garbage we stuff in our face. And you know what? When you eat lots of meat and green vegetables, your cholesterol goes down. And there's no bad news there. Glad you brought that up. Good point. I wouldn't have made it today. So to all the people who are thinking, I can't digest meat, it's because your body is acidic, because you don't have enough lean source. You don't have enough dark green vegetables with the potassium and the sodium and magnesium and zinc and copper that you need to properly digest your food. So of course you need some sort of antacid. That's a whole new industry, by the way. All you need is really good food, and all that stuff is going to go by the way. You understand what I'm talking about now, Rick? No, don't worry about that. Dietary fat and dietary protein are totally different than body fat levels. Body fat, you don't get fat from eating fat. You get fat from eating bread and cookies and croutons and crackers. Farmers know that. They don't feed their animals on a farm fat. You know why? Give them too much energy. They move around. They get thin. They feed them what? They feed them complex carbohydrates, bread. That's what makes people fat. Not fat. Fat is an essential nutrient, as a matter of fact, and you must have it to metabolize your proteins. Okay, I'm going to be on this all through the first of the year as we talk about getting healthy mentally, physically, psychologically. You just won't want to be successful in your business, because it's just like that announcer that everyone loved. He was on cable. And I can't remember his name right now because I didn't watch him, but he's been so, so praised because we missed him. Unfortunately, he was brilliant mentally, but his body was completely out of shape and he died. So if you don't take care of your body, what difference does it matter how much success you enjoy in life? You've got to be able to take this body of yours through your entire life. I think I'm making some sense. I know I am to Albert, because he sent me an email and he said, he had a chance to watch one of those shows and it was off the chart. So anyway, Albert, send me an email. Tell me if you've experienced the 3-2 eating plan. Of those of you who are listening, once you try it, send me emails about your experiences so we can share them on the air and answer some of the questions that you might have about it. And finally, the two things that you can drink are water and 100% fruit juice. Fruit juice, not fruit drinks. I'm not talking about stuff you know, that it's nothing like but soda. 100% fruit juice. Three things you can eat, two things you can drink. Let's see exactly how healthy you can get with that. A shout out to go to Ray in Southern California, Albert down in South Florida, South FLA they call it, Mark and Kim right here in Phoenix, and all the folks, Nick and Heather and both of their children up there in Denver, and of course, one of our favorite clients that Nick has up there, Tom Toomey. Okay, all right, again, send your emails to 7, that's the number 7 spelled out, SEVEN at MacNewton.com. Okay, welcome to Natasha and Eric. It is now exactly 15 minutes past the hour, wherever you may be, on this beautiful afternoon in downtown Phoenix, Arizona, where it is now sunny again, Eric. I mean, our rain didn't last very long here in the valley. You know, this time of the year, I kind of wonder, why are there people left in Pittsburgh and Cleveland? Because, you know, it's 72 degrees today. 72 to 75. Am I correct? Is that about what it is out there, Eric?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, something like that. Very, very nice. It's beautiful. But I better not say too much, because people start moving here, and it's already crowded enough. So, anyway, I hope you're happy wherever you are and enjoying the weather like we are here in Phoenix. Our main topic, we're going to do the final three steps of how to think like a winner. And that's what we're going to start off with right now. Before we get right to that, though, just so you know, we opened up with Round Midnight with Miles Davis. And with Miles Davis was John Coltrane. And we're going to close the show with John Coltrane today. John Coltrane was on tenor sax, and Herbie Mann was on flute with his version of Round Midnight. And that song was written by the late, great Thelonious Monk. Also, with Miles in that particular group is Jerome Richardson on bass, and Betty Glayman was on harp. Bill Evans, one of my favorite jazz piano players, and also Barry Gelbreith was on guitar. Also a very, very accomplished guitar player in jazz. As usual with Miles Davis, Paul Chambers also was on bass, and Kenny Dennis was on drums. This was recorded in June of 1958 in New York City. So, Round Midnight with the great Miles Davis. And if you're new, just tuned in, and you're just running down your dial, and you wonder what are you listening to? You're listening to the Power Hour, originating from Phoenix, Arizona. And we do this live every single Thursday, at 5 o'clock. And my name is Mac Newton, and I sort of lead this journey into high achievement. You know, this is a kind of a time right now where we need leadership. We need leadership more today than ever before, not just in America, but all around the world. And we can see it. We can look at the attitudes of our leading economists from around the world that have led us into what has now been officially described as a recession. And I've always said, a recession or depression, it does nothing more than reflect the attitudes of the major players in finance. All we need to do is get our attitudes right. But an attitude sometimes comes from leadership. That's why we have got to make sure we elect the right leaders, the ones who are visionaries and can see the future. And if we need courageous leadership from parents in the home, that's crucial. We need more honest and focused leadership from business. And we need more principled and moral leadership from government. The great Supreme Court Justice Oliver Wendell Holmes once said, there are three types of people. There are people who make things happen. There are people who watch what's happening. And there are people who don't have the slightest idea of what's happening. I agree. In America today, we need more of the people who make things happen. These are the people who are going to take us into the future. And by that, I mean people who have vision and courage. I mean the courage to take risks that lead to solutions. Like I'm going to discuss today, one of the characteristics of a successful person is being solution-oriented. But we need leadership that has the courage to take those risks, that lead to solutions to serious problems that face us as a nation and as a country today. This type of leader is the most important type of leadership that goes on. And this type of leader is called a transactional leader. This is the person who gets things done. This doesn't mean that they do it all by themselves, though. It means that they get things done with others and through others. That's how they do it. This is the true measure of leadership. People who are able to get extraordinary performances from ordinary people. They are able to uplift and they're able to inspire by words and deeds and get others to share their vision. Get other people to also see what they see and perform at levels way beyond anything that they've ever done before. This is the kind of leader that we need more of in America today. This is the kind of leader that we need more of in homes today. This is the kind of leader that we need more of in business today. This is the kind of leader we need. A question I'm frequently asked is, are leaders born or made? Well, I'm sure there are many varying opinions on this, but I am of the opinion that leaders are made, not born. Clearly, some people feel a strong urging and a strong calling to lead. And they seek out the people and knowledge that enable them to fulfill that calling. Now, I've had the opportunity to talk with many great leaders in sports, in government, in medicine, education. And I've found that there are two things that are clear with all of them. One is they've all trained with great leaders and they've learned from them. And secondly, they all considered themselves to be great followers. Now, I do know one thing about myself. I've always been a great student. I've always been able to follow the lead of the person I've accepted as my leader. And that's allowed me to learn lots of great things. All great leaders were first great followers. And the reason for this is simple. We all have a tendency to become like the people we most admire. The more time we spend either with or reading about the people we most admire, the more we become like them. It's almost like you begin to absorb the qualities and characteristics of these leaders, and soon you begin to talk and act and behave like them. As you sustain these qualities and develop the behaviors of a leader over a period of time, then you can become a leader yourself. So as I said, I'm of the opinion that leaders are more made than born. I think that every person, whether you have demonstrated it in the past or not, has inside of them a desire to be committed to something that is bigger than just themselves. Most people, however, never act on that desire for something. Leaders, however, can visualize that something. They don't just see it. They see it clearly. And that vision, it motivates them. It pushes them. It pulls them into action. Leaders are intensely action-oriented. They get a concept, they get a mission, and then they just launch themselves as if they were fired from a cannon, headlong straight into it. The vision, the passion that they have, it all serves to give that leader a feeling of purpose, a feeling of destiny, really. They feel that they were destined to be great. I remember that's exactly what Reggie Jackson said to me when I was with Oakland, and I asked him that question. And I've repeated this around the world many times. I asked Jesse, I asked Reggie, how have you been able to sustain hitting 30 or more home runs a year for over 10 years or 15 years and hit over 100 RBIs every year for 10, 15 years? And without blinking, he said, "It's Mac, it was easy. I always felt destined to be great." And it's that vision, that passion that makes a person feel destined to be great. How do you defeat that? Well, I have an answer for you. You can't. A feeling of destiny, a feeling of purpose is something that gives a leader, they see themselves as a force of nature, and a force of nature simply cannot be stopped. A force of nature is something like a hurricane. It's something like a tornado. It's something like a tsunami. It can't be stopped. And that vision also creates a passion in the leader that sustains them when they run into opposition and they run into obstacles. I remember myself sometimes when I would look at certain leaders and I would wonder, how did they do it? How did they stand up to the criticism? How did they stand up to the opposition? How did they stand up to the adversity that they faced every day? And that's what it is. The passion that they have created by their vision. I think that is one of the, you know, I think that's what allows them to be a leader over a period of time. You know what else? They also use this passion to generate followers. And I think this is one of the definitions of true leadership. The ability to get followers. And those were the others that I mentioned earlier. They use the followers to get things done. Now, if you feel these qualities in yourself, or you would like to develop these qualities in yourself, by all means, do it. Act on it. I think that your neighborhood, your community, your country, the world needs you. I need you. Now more than any other time in the history of our nation, you are desperately needed. So if you feel those qualities, you know, and along the same line, I have come to this very remarkable conclusion. And sometimes it may even be frightening. But I've come to this conclusion nonetheless, that in things that involve me, I am the decisive element. I'm serious. That I'm the element. I'm the person that really makes things happen. It is my personal approach that creates everything that happens around me. We like to look at other people. We like to look at the weather sometimes. We like to look at circumstances. We like to think about what's going on, what other people are doing. But you know what? It has a lot less to do with everyone else than it has to do with you. I think it is your daily mood, my daily mood, that makes your personal weather. I possess the power to make life miserable for me or joyous. No one else, me. I think I can be a tool of torture or an instrument of inspiration. I can humor, hurt, heal, or humiliate myself or others. I have come to that conclusion. In all situations, it is my response that decides whether a crisis is either de-escalated or escalated. It's always my response. So if you're thinking, well, Mac, you know, these things you're talking about, that's great, but you know what? The circumstances are not right. You know, you're just making excuses, man. This is a cop-out. You're just trying to find a way to procrastinate, a time to put it off, to continue putting off what you've been putting off for your entire life, because that's exactly what we do. We don't just put something off for a day, you know. We don't put it off for a week. You put it off to your deathbed, and this is all that that is. Just another way of saying, it's not my fault. Come on, get off of it. When you make your world better, my world improves. I want to read your plays. I want to go to your movies. I want to listen to your music. Your voice has to be heard in solving the needs and the problems of the world. Everything that you were given from birth is important to be part of this wonderful orchestra called the human race. And if you're not fulfilling it, then you're just copping out. Then you're just playing small. And your playing small does not serve the world. It's time for us to stand up and be counted now more than anything else. Rather than making excuses and saying the time is not right, the time is right now more than any other time. Now is the time that fortunes are made. Now is the time that history can be rewritten. Now is the time. It is 29 minutes after the hour, wherever you may be in this wonderful day. And again, it is a wonderful day. When I woke up this morning, Eric, I was able to get out of bed by myself. I had no tubes attached to me. As far as I know, I have no tumors that are inoperable. And I was able to dress myself. And that makes it a good day. Attitude's everything. Now, as a teacher, I want you to know, this is one of the things I do. I figure if I treat people as they are, I make them worse. If we treat people as they ought to be, we help them become what they are capable of becoming. So, in other words, no more excuses. It's time for us to put down the excuses and make it work. Gang, I'm going to take off just a minute here while we catch our breath. I'm going to go out back and rinse myself off and turn it over to Eric for just a minute. You guys stay right where you are. Hi, gang. If you like listening to the Power Hour, I want you to tell your friends about it. Tell your friends and let them come and join in the fun. Hey, gang, I'm Mac Newton. I'm here to talk to you about the place where leaders go, where successful people go to get more out of themselves, and that would be www.macnewton.com. www.macnewton.com sponsors the Power Hour every Thursday at 5 o'clock. And if you want to get more out of yourself, if you want to see your friends and your family members, you want to see your wife or your husband or your children get more out of theirs, you want to encourage someone from afar, encourage that they go to macnewton.com and read the essays that are posted. Download the little bits of and nuggets of wisdom and information that they can use to make their lives more fruitful and more enjoyable. As I said before, it's the place where winners go. www.macnewton.com, and all you have to do is go there, and soon you too will be a winner. Hey, gang, welcome back. We're listening to the Power Hour. We do this thing every Thursday. Every Thursday at 5 o'clock. And our audience is growing, right? I mean, it's just, all you have to do is put it out there. Like they say, build it and they will come. Well, we built it and they are coming. People from all around the globe. We got the listeners in Ecuador and South America and the Philippines. And even got an email from New Zealand. Wow, this is amazing. It's just amazing. You go online. It's really amazing. Right now, live, people are listening to us all around the globe. All they have to do is tune in to www.macnewton.com. It's kind of cool. What do you think about that, Natalia? Is that amazing? I mean, is that voice of yours, that little cute little accent of yours just reverberating around every corner of the world? Isn't that cool?
Well, I don't know about my voice, but the show is fabulous. I'm just happy to be here. And you'll get emails from Russia pretty soon. I gave our email address to my Russian friends.
So do they speak English? Will I have to learn Russian? Will I do a special Russian Power Hour?
They speak English. They know English.
Okay, all right. Well, then that means I don't have to learn Russian.
No, you can learn Russian.
I think I know a couple words already. I'll keep working on it. I'll keep you guys abreast on that. All right, gang, welcome back to the show. As I said, we are going to finish up. We're going to have the finale now in how to think like a winner. And I certainly don't want to leave you hanging too long on that. I'm really happy with the direction. I don't know about you guys out there, but just in a personal positive note, I just feel that over the last week and a half, I have seen several signs that the attitudes of people are starting to change. I think that we're starting to rebound already. I think that people are starting to say, enough of that. Let's get back to business. Enough of that self-pity. Let's get back to business. Let's get our attitudes right. I can see it. We've been talking about how to think like a winner, and I'm talking about the 7 mental exercises that you can do, the attitudes that you can develop that will allow you to think like a winner. I'm only going to step back 1. Now, Eric, to last week, we finished up number 4, which was all winners develop an attitude of result orientation. You know, successful people think constantly about the results that are expected of them. They are result oriented. They are constantly talking, writing, planning, and setting goals and priorities for their most important tasks, the things that they need to do. That's exactly right, Albert. I know you sent me an email about that. You wanted to always keep your mind and working on the things that are most important for you. And a real fast recap of last week. Number 1, what are your highest value activities? What are the things that you do that contribute the greatest value to your work? Number two, what are your key result areas? What are the results that you absolutely positively have to get in an excellent fashion to fulfill your job in an excellent way? Number three, what can I and only I do, if I do it well, will make a difference to my company? Number four, and what is the most valuable use of my time? This is the most important question in time management. You should ask and answer this question almost every couple of hours. What is the most valuable use of your time right now? Well, right now, you are proving that you're a winner. Why? Because you're listening to the Power Hour. If you're listening to my voice right now, you are making a statement. You're saying, I want to get more out of myself. I want to get more out of myself, and I want to utilize my possibilities at a higher level. That's what you're saying. So you are using your time extremely well right now. If you used every hour of your day as effectively as you are using this hour, you're going to get more out of yourself. So number four is, and you should ask this question all the time, what is the most valuable use of my time right now? Asking and answering that question is the key to peak predictable performance. Whatever your answer to this question may be sure that you are working on this particular task every minute of every hour. Compared to that answer, compared to that activity, compared to that task, everything else relatively is a waste of time. In the final analysis, bottom line it, gang, getting results is everything. The quality and the quantity of your results determine the quality and quantity of your rewards. You know, this point of reference requires that you are going to continually make sure you are involved in the tasks, in the activities that are the most valuable and important than any other task. And when you discipline yourself to work on those tasks until it's done, you're going to find yourself in the winner's circle. All right. The fifth, number five, in terms of attitudes that you can build in yourself, the fifth attitude for high performance is solution orientation. In other words, when you get an attitude of solution orientation, you are thinking about solution to the problem most of the time. You think about what can be done and how the problem can be solved instead of what happened and who's to blame. See, there's that word again, Eric. There's that word, H-O-W, how it is going to get solved. Whenever I turn to someone, I say, Natasha, how do we do this? Whenever I turn to someone and say, Eric, how do I get this done? How do you think that should be solved? As soon as I say that word, your mind is automatically flip into a creative mode. Automatically, you can get more out of someone rather than placing blame, saying, well, why'd you do that? No, how do we resolve it? How do we get a different result? How is more important? And that's what all winners are. They are solution oriented. They think about what can be done and how the problem can be solved instead of what happened and who's to blame. Unsuccessful people, I'm talking about losers here, unsuccessful people think and talk about their problems all of the time. That's all you hear from them. Think about it, Eric. Whenever you're hanging around someone and you say, how's it going? Oh, man, I'm telling you, man, my car's not working. You know, the electricity's out the house. I got a leak in the backyard. I sprained my ankle. You know, I'm having a fight with my wife. You know, that's all they want to talk about. And you walk away from that conversation feeling like you've been beat over the head with a stick. You don't even want to hear it. You know, but that's what they do. And the more you think and you talk about your problems, the more negative, the more angry, and the more pessimistic that you become. But when you think and talk about the solutions, when you think and talk about the positive things that can result, you become creative, you become optimistic, and of course, become more positive. Life is a continual success, a continual flow of challenges. You can call them what you want. Some people like to call them problems. Life is a continual succession of problems. Life is a continual succession of situations. Life is a continual succession of challenges. Life is a continual succession of opportunities. Which one do you want to, which word do you want to use? Okay, a lot of people prefer to use the word problem. Sometimes I do when I'm talking to people, but when I'm talking to myself and when I'm talking to Natasha, you know the word I like to use? Opportunity. Sometimes I have a challenge, but never a problem. I have no problems. I really don't. I don't have any problems. I got some things that are challenging me, but you know what? I always rise to challenges and situations. You know what I do with those, Eric? I deal with them. You know, we deal with the situation. You got a situation? You deal with it. I know you do. I've seen you do it. It's what you do. It's how you think. You got a challenge? Okay. You rise to it. Okay. I'm sort of challenged by that. I rise to it. All right. Bring it on. What else you got? That's your best. It's your best shot. But a problem? Oh, man. Man, that gets me down. Uh-uh. But life is a continual flow of whatever you want to call it. I say challenges. If you want to say problems, fine. They never end. They come in like waves off the ocean, one after the other. In addition, if you're living the kind of busy life, normal life I lead, you're probably going to have a crisis of some kind every couple of months. You know, and to me, when I hear the word crisis, it's saying change needed, change needed, change needed right here. We need a change. We need a change. A crisis is nothing more than a change needing to be made. In the Chinese language, the word crisis is written with two characters. One that says danger and the other says opportunity. But anyway, if you live the kind of life I live, a crisis is going to arise. Last week, I had a computer meltdown. The whole thing just blew apart. It was a crisis. It was a challenge. We met it. Right, Eric? We met the thing. We're still resolving it, and nothing has ceased. It's been challenging, but we've done it anyway. But anyway, every 2 or 3 months, a crisis is going to arise. Again, like I said, it's change needs to happen right now. The only thing that really matters right now is how effectively you respond to make this change at this point in time. Your ability to solve problems largely determines your success. And believe this, gang, your ability to respond to challenges, your ability to respond to crisis definitely determines your income. Ah, I said it. There it is. All right. You want to earn more money? Deal with crisis better. Make changes more effectively. There, I said it. Yeah. Your ability to solve these situations, to deal and respond to challenges, determines your success and certainly your income. This ability of how far you go, this ability to respond to challenges, respond to a crisis, determines how far you go or how high you rise in life, no matter what title you put on your business card. And you know, it really amazes me now. I see all kind of titles on business cards. It's almost kind of funny. Someone gives me their business card and it says, area manager. What the heck does that mean? You know, it like there are no workers anymore. Everyone's a manager or a supervisor, or you know what I'm talking. Or everyone's a manager now. You know, none of this matters. None of it matters. Doesn't matter what the title is on your business card. You know what you need to do? Cross off the title and write in problem solver. That's what you need to do. Right, cross off the title. Write in I solve problems. I can make it happen. That's what you need to do. Cause that's what people need. People are calling you up to say, and what they're saying in their voice is, can you help me? Can you help me? That's what they want. That's what people want to know. They want to know if you can help them. I don't care what your title is. We don't care what your job description is. Can you help me? Highly successful people solve problems. And they don't just solve problems. They solve big problems. They solve crisis. Unsuccessful people solve no problems or very, very little ones. That's what they do. And the bigger and more expensive the problems they solve, the larger and more important are the problems that you will be given to solve. That's what I believe. When you solve big problems, when you solve expensive problems, people are going to give you bigger and more important problems to solve. And in response to that, you will be paid more. There it is. Okay? If you have a problem with that, send me an email. Send it to 7@macnewton.com. Okay? Anytime you have a disagreement or you have a comment to make about anything I say on the power, please let me know. I will not ignore you. is just like when Eric was talking to me before. I love those. Bring it on. I love to be challenged. Challenge my thinking. Challenge what I'm saying. Educate me. I want to know more. I'm not going to try to put you down. I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to just stay hidden. I want to grow too. I do not see myself as an answer man. I don't even believe in right. I'm looking for something to grow. Okay. The key to becoming an excellent problem solver is to think and talk about possible solutions all of the time. That's how we do it. That's how problem solvers work. Whenever something goes wrong, resist the temptation to become angry. See, when you get angry, you know, it's kind of like a person who carries a gun around all the time. If you carry a gun around all the time, you're just looking. You're like trying to attract a situation where you can use it. You know what I mean? So, and these people are always finding themselves in trouble. They carry around guns. They're angry. They're looking for a reason to use that. So resist the temptation to become angry. Resist the temptations to make excuses. Instead, here's some of the questions you need to ask. What do we do now? What do we do about this? What's the solution? These are the questions. What's the next step? Not the always, okay, if you can't solve the whole thing, can't solve the whole thing, what's the next step? What's the next step? How do we solve this situation? How do we limit the damage? How can we prevent this from happening again? Where do we go from here? What can we do about this right now? That's what all winners say. You know what losers say, Eric? Here's what losers say. It wasn't my fault. This is what losers say. Was it my fault? I didn't do it. Oh, you recognize what I'm talking about. You're thinking, you know what? Someone just said that to me this morning. I needed to get something done. He said, it wasn't my fault. I didn't do it. I wasn't even there. I wasn't working. I wasn't even in the neighborhood. I was at home. I didn't ask you that. It's always a plea of not guilty. I didn't do it. See? Okay. The good news is this. The good news is that the more you focus on solutions, the better you become at figuring out better and better solutions all the time. The more you do what you do, the better you get at what you're doing all the time. You become more effective and more creative in everything you do by focusing on solutions all of the time. Your mind just starts to function at a higher level until you can solve problems before they even get finish. As a problem is unfolding to you, you have solved it. It's like, I've got that solved already. I figured that out. Why? I'm a problem solver. So what do I do? Look at your business card. What does it say? You know, if you look at my business card, it doesn't say anything. It just says Mac Newton. That's all it says. I don't need a big old fancy title. You know, because when my phone rings, I know what the people are asking me. Can you help me? That's what they want. You know what I'm saying, Natasha? That's all they want to know. Can you help me? And the answer is yes. I can help you. Tell me what you got. I can solve it. And that's why they call me, because they know I can. Now, I think this is one of the great breakthroughs. I mean, when it comes to, you know, discovering the physiology of the brain, it's like, you know, the more you use the brain in a creative functionality, the more it seems to grow in that direction. So the more you use your brain to solve problems instead of word puzzles. Who cares about word puzzles, man? It's like the thing that people think about most when they go to work, Eric. You know, it's like they go to work, they think about, oh, what time is my first break? You know, who am I going to email on break? What am I going to do at lunch? This is not solving any problems. This is not contributing to increasing your income. You know, and I'm going to tell you something right now. If you're not thinking right now about, you know, next year doubling your income, then what are you thinking about? Ways to double your income, ways to increase your productivity and to take advantage of the great talent that's been given to you by the higher power. But anyway, I think a truly effective person is one who has developed this incredibly wonderful ability to respond positively, constructively, powerfully to the inevitable problems and difficulty of just day-to-day life. This must be one of your goals as well. Okay, I just gave you two goals. Double your income and become an effective problem solver. Think about solutions all day long. I don't know It's about 11 minutes for the hour. Eric, I think we got time for one more. This is number six. So if we get through number six, then we only have one left. Yeah, and one left, and we can sort of open the show with that one next week. You know, I told you, gang, we had a great show on tap for you today. And if you're not getting excited about what we're talking about today, then you know what? You know, I guess I'm not really talking to you then. But if you are, then you are primed and poised to leap onto the fast track, because this is how winners think. You got, if this excites you, if this makes you want to start thinking about ways to improve the effectiveness of your business, to improve yourself as a person, to get healthier and eat 3-2, to eat and to drink more water, which, by the way, add this to your list: 120 ounces of water every day. Yeah, 120 ounces. A gallon's 128. Drink 120 every day. I know you do that, don't you, Natasha?
Yes, I do.
She does it.
I drink maybe more.
You know, pretty soon we're gonna post some pictures of Natasha on our website so you can see her, and you hear the voice, and you get a chance to see her effectiveness. Do you have some pictures of yourself before you were on the 3-2 eating plan, Natasha?
I do. I have it.
Okay, so we can put some before and after pictures too. Okay.
Sure, we can do that.
Yeah. She's fabulous. We don't call her Fabulous Natasha for nothing. What do you see her? Okay. Now, here is the sixth attitude that you can develop if you want to become a winner. I like to call it growth orientation, okay? Growth orientation. In other words, your life gets better only when you get better. So you need to dedicate yourself to lifelong learning. Let me just reach into my drawer here. It's kind of unique. I've turned, you know, Eric is a genius at this stuff. You know, he's very modest about, you know, his ability to, you know, when I went out to get this stuff to help make a studio out of my office, Eric has helped me out so much. That's why he's just a genius with this stuff. But anyway, where is this thing here? So I'm actually in my office doing this here now. And I'm trying to find an essay that I might not be able to say it, but it was one that my great grandma always told me about. She always said, "Mac, you just don't want to go through life. You want to grow through life." And I wrote a very short essay on that. I'll find it, maybe share it with you next week. It's called Growing Through Life. Not just going through life, but growing through life. I'll find it and share it with you. I thought I'd pull it out there and kind of get parts of it. But that's really one of the key elements. And Great Grandma knew all this stuff, you know? She knew all this stuff. Most of this stuff I learned from her, and the rest I learned from Brian Tracy, who's also a genius. So anyway, life gets better when you get better. Your life gets better only when you get better. So if you're wondering when things are going to get better, it's going to get better when you get better. How's it going to work out? It's going to work out the way you want it to work out. Growth-oriented people are eager to learn and eager to practice new ideas. People who are afraid of new ideas, they're losers. Come on. Winners are always looking for new techniques, new insights, new methods, new strategies. They're hungry for this new information. They're like sponges. They just soak up everything they can get from every source, you know? You know, I agree with Pat Riley. Pat Riley made a statement. He said, "If you're not getting better, you're getting worse." And that's the truth. Everything counts. Nothing is neutral. Even in science, nothing's neutral. You can't stand pat. You either get better or you get worse. Everything you do counts. Every bit of food you eat makes you either more healthy or less healthy. Ask yourself. Everything you think either makes you better or worse. Ask yourself, what is it going to be? Everything you say either takes you forward or backs you. Ask yourself, what is it doing? I think all of us have enormous untapped reserves of mental capacity that we never use. I think we have the ability to learn and become excellent in more areas than you could ever dream of. But your mind is like a muscle. It's just like your bicep, you know? I think there's something where like 601 muscles in the human body. And, you know, and you have to work every one of them. You got to pump them up. You got to exercise them. And if you don't use it, you lose it. Or at least temporarily you do. You can always bring it back. I think the future belongs to the strong. It's the same old saying, gang. You know, to the winners, to the strong, go the spoils. The future belongs to the competent. In the 21st century, the future belongs to the ultra competent people, the thinkers, the doers. The future belongs to people who are very good at what they do and who are getting better every single day. Believe that. And if this time that we're in right now is not telling you that, then you're not paying attention. To earn more, you got to learn more. You got to be growing through life, not just going through life. You must add more value. You've got to develop the ability to make a better and important contribution. You've got to be asking yourself, you know, every single day, what can I do to increase my value? Not just to me and my family and my community, but to my company as well. All right. You know, I think that you are your most valuable asset. Your ability to think well and act effectively depends upon the quality and the quantity of knowledge and the ideas that are available to you. You must constantly, continually feed your mind to develop more of your potential. Remember, as great grandma said, she could be your great grandma too. Don't just go through life, gang. Go through life. So we are going to finish up. I'm going to just jump right into this and maybe we'll do a recap to recap the entire thing, go through all seven next week to begin our show. The seventh attitude of the highest paid people in the world today, in every field, is action orientation. People who take action, people who get moving, resolve today to develop a sense of urgency in your work. I mean, it would be an overstatement for me to say that more than 2% of working to adults have a sense of urgency. And I think this is just a tiny minority that eventually rises to the top of every field. Everyone today is in a hurry, it seems. Everyone is impatient. For this reason, people often equate speed with quality. If you act fast when they have a need or a question, they automatically assume that your work is better, of higher value. By moving fast, you gain an edge. Do it now. Do it now. Just don't do it. Do it now. Do it now. Do it now. Do it now. Action orientation. Be an action Jackson. Resolve to move quickly when an opportunity presents itself. Develop and maintain a fast tempo in your work. Keep stepping on the accelerator. The faster you move, the more energy you get. The faster you move, the more experience you get. The more experience you get, faster you learn. Faster you learn, the better you get. The better you get, the more you get paid. Ooh. You like that? I know you do.
I like that.
You like that?
Because
the fabulous Natasha likes to get paid.
In cash.
No question. No doubt about it. The faster you move, the greater your self-esteem, self-respect, personal pride. Faster you move, the more value and respected you will become among the people around you. Faster you move, the better will be the quality of your work and the quality of your life in almost every area. I like that. I'm fired up about that. I like it. We are going to recap all seven areas again next week. Whew, what we got here? Looks like about 58 minutes past the hour there, Eric. 58 minutes past the hour, gang. I tell you, it just flies fast. We have got so much stuff on tap for you guys here on the Power Hour in the weeks and months to come that I'm excited about it. It's going to be a pleasure to be part of your lives. Tell your friends about it. Tell them to tune in and to turn on and tune in to the Power Hour every Thursday right here, www.macnewton.com. Listen live. Go to macnewton.com and press the listen live button. And then we're going to upload it the very next day and you'll be able to download it. We are in the process right now of redesigning macnewton.com to be more useful for you in all the things that you need to get accomplished in your busy life. Well, as always, I like to say, make your words and behaviors match. And when I say that, I'm saying be true to you. Be true to yourself. If you're going to say something, then make your behaviors match it. Don't just say it and let it hang out there so you're saying one thing and doing another. Especially parents to kids. Okay? And I also want to say thanks to Bob Aglock, as we do every single week. Bob is the guy that encouraged me and got the whole thing started. Pat McMahon, who said that if you ever get tired of doing what you're doing, you got a future in radio. Well, I'm still doing what I was doing, but I still like doing radio. JC, my original partner up in San Francisco, may the force be with you, my brother. The fabulous Natasha, always dap me up, brother. Eric, on the side of the glass. Thanks, my man. Glad to have you here. We'll see you next week. How much time we got over there, buddy? 30 seconds. Listen, you know, guys, I really enjoy doing this, but visit me on the web and send your emails over to me as well. My name is Mac Newton. They call me the Mac Daddy. And if you need to call me, you can call me at area code 602-957-6492. My assistant's name is Lisa, and she'll help you out as much as possible. Remember, we are action people. Peace. 3, 2, 1. The Mac Daddy is out.